Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I am speaking with Joe Hertler of Joe Hertler and the Rainbow Seekers. The band has just released a fantastic new track called The Last Ovation, and I am super excited to talk to them all about it. Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your mini vacation to talk to me. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Austin. How are you doing?
I am great. I cannot complain. This will be the highlight of my day. I can confidently say that, no matter how this goes. It will
Yes.
be the highlight.
Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I've got 1,000 questions for you. So
Cool.
let's get right into it. You guys have this new song out called The Last Ovation, and sincerely, I really have enjoyed listening to it.
Thank you.
It's probably like 5 or 6 times, and it's gotten better on each listen. But the first thing I really want to pry into here is like, what is it about? I can only do so much connecting the dots within your words, so I'd love to get a background on, what inspired it.
Oddly enough, it's in some ways derived from some Formula One history.
Oh.
There was a driver named Francois Soubert. He was the teammate of Jackie Stewart, who was like one of the great Formula One racing drivers.
Yeah.
And this was in the early 1970s. They spent a couple years on the team together. Jackie was kind of getting ready to retire, and he was like a three-time world champion. Francois was kind of like the I don't know, that was coming in to almost take his place in a lot of ways. And there was this mentorship, mentee relationship between the two of them. But in 1973 at Watkins Glen, which is actually in New York State, Francois had like a really bad crash in qualifying and died. And it was just like very,
Think I
very
heard about
grisly.
that.
So there was kind of, yeah, there was gotta put it like at the time there were no safety precautions in Formula One. It was a pretty risky thing, and driver safety was just kind of an afterthought. And the like inherent danger of the sport as well was very much like culturally a part of the sport. And I kind of just found it. On one hand, you have Jackie, who's retiring, who's kind of passing along the torch,
Yeah.
is approaching his end. Retiring is tough for a lot of people. What we do makes up who we are. It's a big part of our identity. And to walk away from especially something, I mean, it really doesn't matter what it is, whether, be or however you identify, whether it's like yourself as a family member or a friend, your faith, or like your job. For a lot of people,
Totally.
we have Jackie retiring, kind of passing the torch, and then also Francois Soubert, who dies in a car accident. So there's two ends, and that is really what inspired the song. And I mean, the song is really about like letting go, stepping down, ideally gracefully. And it's
Sure.
kind of I kind of squashed the two stories into one. Are the two drivers into one person, just like a racetrack? It's a song about beginnings and endings, as cheesy as that can kind of be sometimes,
It's
but
not though. I mean, honestly, the single artwork makes so much more sense now. But I know the background. I was like, oh, what is it? I mean, I like the car, and all right, let's try to connect the words. That's really cool though. I mean, you can only imagine how many people I talk to where it's like another love song or another breakup song or another made up song. But the fact that you're actually bringing awareness to something that probably not a lot of people know about or even care to learn about is really cool. And the fact that I think this song, compared to what I've listened to from you guys, is a little more on the low key end. It's not boring or anything, but it absolutely fits the tone of the subject matter.
Thank
Was
you.
that the plan, or did it kind of just turn out that way in the production?
Yeah, I think there was just a big shift in my production style
Yeah.
over, especially over kind of like the COVID era. And I had a lot of time to really dig into production. Yeah, as you just work on things.
Yeah.
Sounds evolve, and I'm kind of always like taking notes and gathering resources for
Of course.
song creation. But sometimes you just get this, this layer, like the foundation of a particular arrangement kind of brings up certain feelings. And in this case, it, there was something kind of melancholy about it. And it was one of those songs where it's like you have this whole structure of a song built, and then the lyrics just kind of fall right on top of it. It was a pretty like effortless song in the songwriting kind of way. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I have songs I'm really happy with that took months and I mean, sometimes years.
Yeah.
But when it all comes together really quickly, it is generally a good sign.
That is really nice. In terms of the band dynamic, obviously it's not just you here. You've got a super talented band behind you. Creation process, how does it work? Is it cumulative? Is it someone takes the lead, or is it just, you know, hey, got this idea, let's move forward with it?
Yeah, it all depends. I'd say most of her stuff starts in my studio.
Okay.
I just, you know, I sit around and play music all day. So I'll just start piecing things together. Even stuff with like horns and, you know, that sort of stuff. I'll even like sing lines. I try to like take it as far as I can. My keyboard player and my guitar player are both a big part of that. So they usually come over once a week and but you know, I'll show them like what I've written, what I have, and you know, we'll start replacing things and changing things from there. And it's kind of weird because that used to be like our demoing process, but it's kind of gotten to the point where a lot of that stuff is carrying over to the actual record, which is, you know, was basically this entire new record.
Sure.
At some point though, we took it to Nashville. We worked with my friend Conrad Snyder.
Nice.
And just, you know, mixed it, did a lot more, you know, made a lot of changes to the music. And we also bring in like the rest of the guys to re-record parts or just add more. And then it moves on to like the live phase where we have to learn how to play it live. And that's always been like a very collaborative effort. And we really try to like, we're sort of known for being a live band.
That's the best kind of band to be. Truly.
I'm glad we are the way we are. From there we try to turn it in from like a Joe song into a Rainbow Seeker song, and sometimes just like writing it can come together really quickly and everything just makes sense, and other times it takes a while and we have to play it for a few months to really start figuring out how to make it a full band song. This song was very much like that. I think it's one that we're still trying to figure out, especially I think because it is a bit more low energy.
I understand that. I mean, honestly, whatever you do to it, it's going to be like bursting with passion and soul, because I think that's where the core of the song comes from. And there's no doubt it won't translate well in a live setting.
Thank you.
Another thing I really wanted to talk about here is listening to your guys' music. You really like do not hold yourself to one specific sound or style or genre, which is great, because in one hand, like, it doesn't pigeonhole you to that band just makes rock music, for example. Mm-hmm. So for someone that may not have heard your music before, how would you describe it?
We do jump around a lot. I kind of say it's like a mix of sort of a terrible comparison really, but like, like you take like Flaming Lips and maybe Death Cab and Jamiroquai and maybe a little Dave Matthews Band and kind of smush them together. But we jump all around. I'm not exactly sure why. I think partially it's just because I get like bored. And then probably the main reason is we're all constantly learning and I interested in just trying new things. And there's so many different like feelings you can get out of different genres of music. Yeah. Like our dancier stuff just like, you know, evokes like a whole different side of writing versus something like this, which is a bit more introspective or, you know,
right,
existential or what, you know, whatever.
That's true. I fully hear what you're saying here.
Yeah.
I also think at the same time, I say this so often, but it's true. It's like, you're the one that's, you know, spending all the time and the energy and money to put this music together. If at the end of the day you get in your car and you wouldn't want to listen to it, what's the point? You know what I mean? If you just make one sound, it's boring, not only for you, but I think it eventually becomes boring for the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Part of making music and just like being an artist and creative is exploring and experimenting and trying new things and seeing what sticks. And yeah, from just the music that I've heard, like, you guys really kind of go around the clock, which is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And obviously I know that you guys have more music on the way. I don't want to get too much into it, but I do kind of want to ask on the experimental and experimentation end. I assume that we're going to hear different things. Is this record kind of like a smattering of different sounds, or did you
Oh,
find a cohesion?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. It can the ranges are kind of like more like hard hitting dance music,
Nice.
to like kind of this like lo-fi. Yeah, I'll put it like this. I kind of like learned to produce through dance music and hip hop.
Sure.
So like I feel like the ranges of that I have as a producer right now is this kind of, four on the floor dance music and then lo-fi hip hop. Obviously with
Dope.
like, I play a lot of like acoustic-y instruments. So
Yeah, I can see that behind you.
there's kind of like this, yeah. I'm trying to learn cello. I used
Yeah,
to
I was
play
like, holy
stand-up
shit,
bass.
that's a beast.
Yeah, it's so hard. I keep that was my other mission in coming up here was like just practice a shitload,
Yeah.
get a little more. It's when I'm in my home studio, it's so hard. I feel like other things always end up taking precedent over just like
Get
pure practicing.
it. Right.
Hopefully I answered your question.
No, you did. You did.
Cool,
You know
cool.
what? Like, I think time will tell at this point. It's like, I'm gonna listen to the record. I'm gonna experience it one way or another. So I urge everyone else to do the same too. So right now we are like right at the end of February, the last day to be exact, and right around the corner you guys have a pretty extensive tour coming up, all throughout the US basically. How, like, what does a live show look like? Obviously you say that you're more of a live band. I can only imagine the energy that you bring. So what do things look like?
We do dress up the stage. We have a giant inflatable rainbow.
Oh,
We
that's
have
awesome.
like probably, I don't know, a couple grand in like plastic flowers. Just, I have like a giant like meter long rose of a
Beautiful.
huge bud.
They have to.
So we yeah, and we usually bring lighting and stuff too. So we try to
Sure.
I'd like a lot of bands try to create an environment that's like a little otherworldly that can
Yeah.
kind of pull people from wherever they're coming from and ideally help them engage with the show itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. At the end of the day, you're trying to create an experience, and that's the goal of the live
Yeah.
show.
No, that's what it's all about. Because honestly, you and I both know, probably as avid concert goers or watchers, there's nothing more boring than watching just a guy with a guitar and and like,
It's
listen,
hard.
there's so much competition out there. You do kind of need to differentiate yourself, so I understand it. Well, I know you're not coming to California, but if you ever come, I would love to see you guys. I'm sure the energy you bring is unmatched.
I think
That's awesome.
we'll be back out this summer.
Okay,
So
cool.
there was we just ran through California like probably like 3 months ago, and it was,
Nice.
I mean, awesome. It was very, very, I love going to California.
Yeah, it's good
Who
times.
doesn't? But yeah, we'll be back out within the next 5 to 6 months.
Sweet. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
This kind of branches off that question though. It's like, yeah, we're right at the end of February, and I still very much consider us to be at the beginning of this year, or at least it feels like it.
It does feel that way.
It does feel, things are going fast though. What are some like lofty goals that you would potentially like to hit, or just some things that you think will happen by year's end?
Lofty goals. I kind of a lot of times just like the goal is like make another record.
Of course, that's always, in the background.
Yeah, I mean I've always kind of we're a small working band. Like of course it would be great for this to like really level up and I don't think any of us would be doing it as long as we have at the intensity that we have if we didn't think there was a lot more room to grow.
Sure.
But really try to I like making music, so every show is kind of, it's like, hey, if we take this show, it's probably gonna be inconvenient. We gotta have take a red eye flight and backline all
Yeah.
back here, but it means
Could be
payroll keeps going
fun.
for 4 more months,
Exactly.
And like at the end of the day, it's like everyone's worked really, really hard in our group and in
Of
our team.
course.
People have committed their lives to this, and
Yeah.
what I find myself most commonly fantasizing about is just being able to like make sure everyone has like a comfortable salary and is, yeah, you know, living without stress. And granted, things have gotten a lot better, but lot of years just grinding it. And that stuff gets tough. And that's the goal ultimately is to make.
That's always a goal. That's a lifelong goal. Yeah. It really is, though. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I would say, I mean, this is who even knows the percentage, but like 90% of people just listen to music because it's available to them. They go on their Spotify, they scroll, they click, and that's the end of it. But not really many people know the business end of it and that it's a real job for you guys. And it's increasingly becoming harder. Touring costs and just literally everything. It's like, if you can make a halfway decent living for yourself doing something you love in any medium, that's a win. And that's amazing that you guys are able to do that and continue doing that.
I mean, I was able to just come up here for a week just to like get out of my studio, and you know, it's great.
It truly is great. I have a couple more questions for you. I want to know, what have you been listening to? What's been at the top of your playlists, or even maybe some local bands that you've, you know, been enjoying?
Yeah. I've been listening to Hella Dido.
Really? I haven't heard that name in so long.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's been the jam lately. I'm a big Jamiroquai fan. Sure. I'm going through another Jamiroquai phase. Yeah. Same with Death Cab.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, probably like my two favorite bands. Dido, something else. Awesome. Monster Songwriter. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who. Look, like Michigan band, at least Michiganders writing some really, really good stuff.
I've listened to them. Yeah.
Jason's a good buddy of mine. There's also another band called Ollam. The OLLAM. They're sort of an Irish group. It's produced by one of my buddies in Ann Arbor. It's really his project, but he's kind of in the Wolfpack production world. Graduated with all those guys from U of M. He lives like, you know, a couple minutes from where I'm at in Ann Arbor. His name's Tyler Duncan, but it's like this instrumental Celtic music, and it's just like totally slamming. Joe Dart plays bass on it. I think Woody from Wolfpack's on some of the tracks, and everyone's incredibly good at their instruments, and the arrangements are gorgeous.
I will check them out. I love that whole world.
It really is good. Yeah. If you can remember one thing of these whatever I'm listening to, the Ollam.
Nice. All right. I will check them out. Thank you. Joe, my last question for you here is basically for the person that is going to discover you guys from this, what is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
Well, first and foremost, it'd probably be thank you for taking away from your very limited time and deciding to use that time, you know, use that time to enjoy a show and support the arts. Like, I think that is super cool. And I suppose the other thing I'd say is, you know, just kick back. If you got other stuff going on in life that's stressful, know that you're probably surrounded by a bunch of people who are also, you know, have their own private shit they're dealing with. Yep. And just try to enjoy the show for a little bit, either ideally connect with it, or hopefully it makes you, maybe gives you a little break, which we all can use.
Love it. Great answer.
And also be nice to everyone there.
You know? Yeah, obviously. Just be a good person.
Kind.
Awesome. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time. Please let me plug your music for you one more time here. If you guys missed it the first time around, the song is called The Last Ovation, but there's also so much more new music that is on the way and has come out. So we will have the links in the articles that you can listen and share and follow along and do all that fun stuff. Check the tour dates out. We'll have that as well. If they're coming to a city near you, grab a ticket. Sounds like it's going to be an amazing time. And again, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Well, thank you, Austin.
You're very welcome. All right. Have a great rest of your day, and we will hopefully speak soon.
You too.
Cool. Take care.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. Later. All right, man. Have a good day.
Appreciate you. Yep. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.